is your relationship with time? Are you wired and tired, stressed and overwhelmed, busy and going nowhere, or just want to scale your business? Welcome to Take Back Time with your host, Penny Zenker. Penny focuses on books, strategies, tools, and tips to help you work smarter and approach your time more strategically. As a result, you can have more energy, focus, and get more done in less time. Be more efficient and effective. Get ready to take back time.
Hello, and welcome to Take Back Time. My name is Penny Zenker, and I'm your host. And I'm excited today because hiring is something that companies are having challenges with. Finding the right people, there are resource constraints in terms of not enough people, not enough right people. So how do we hire the right people? How do we find a good fit? And I'm super excited to have Dan Fantasia with us. He is an expert in this space and he's going to share his expertise. He's been in the field of sales recruiting since 1997 and he founded Treeline in 2001. His exclusive focus on helping companies to build world-class elite sales teams has helped to change the lives of over 3,300 sales professionals. He's built deep knowledge in what it takes to build and grow top-producing business. And as a proven sales leader himself, an innovator, he has created a positively charged culture that promotes the good in every person, resulting in the team that has developed the best-in-class methodologies and technology that continues to revolutionize the industry. So we're going to hear more about that. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Penny. Thanks for having me.
There's a lot of interesting things in there, right? Maybe touch upon some different things. But how would you assess the marketplace right now? We've been through many phases in the last couple of years, right, where people had to let people go because of COVID, because they maybe had constraints where they weren't open, they weren't able to get to the office place. And then you had the great resignation where people were deciding, no, we don't want to be here anymore. Where are we now? Are we in a new phase? What's going on with the hiring?
It is a confusing time. We have some individuals looking for new opportunities coming to us because they're being laid off. And we have clients that are hiring like crazy. And what we're finding is that for the companies that are looking to hire, it is a challenging time because there is so much white noise. And what I mean by that is because there is some layoffs, the market is somewhat confused. When you go to recruit, when you're looking for top talent, one of the biggest challenges, Penny, for our team, for example, is that they're overwhelmed with so much noise. People that are getting laid off applying to jobs that are not a great fit for them, or they're applying to all different positions or connecting with our company and other companies. And so the challenge is there's almost too much. You can't keep up with the volume. Companies struggle to assess and find the top talent for their organizations because they're overwhelmed with so much talent finding interest in their positions.
I could see even before some of these challenges is that it's a problem. The influx of having so many candidates to go through and to have to review each one. And really sometimes that can be just that overwhelm of having so many candidates to go through is a key. How do you advise people and how do you do this yourself? How do you keep from getting overwhelmed in that process? What is it about your process that makes finding the right people easier?
It is one of our biggest challenges because when you think of the pipeline of candidates, if you're stuck at the top of the funnel, right, Penny?
Yeah.
There's no real authentic dialogue or communication because it's just a lot of back and forth white noise and communication. What we really try to do is we are looking for and focusing on skill sets that match the exact needs of our clients' requirements. If we don't have that exact fit, then unfortunately, we can't spend as much time working with individuals on particular opportunities because we need to focus on the individuals that meet the requirements. And that becomes very challenging, Penny, because you do not want to insult or offend the audience that you're working with. You want to be very cautious not to waste their time, but you also want to make sure that you're not wasting your time.
Yes.
Because ultimately, you can interview and talk to lots of great people that are not a good fit. And now all of a sudden, your time is gone. You're wasting it on building relationships, but you're not moving forward or getting closer to hitting the target to help your clients hire the right person for the company.
Just as much as time as it takes to do all that interviewing, a bad hire is super costly, right?
Yeah.
The time that you invest in getting that person on board and then them not being culture fit, not having the skills that you need and so forth. What I'm hearing you say is really get clear on that job description and what the skills are required, what the desired outcomes, what is that person going to be doing and what are the skill sets that you need for them to get those outcomes?
Yeah.
Right?
You're exactly right.
That seems obvious to me. Like, ew. What's so difficult about that? Why are people not getting that right?
One of the biggest reasons is most of the time people don't understand the amount of effort it takes to find top talent. And as a result, because they misjudge the human capital required to find these people, they don't have enough resources to do it. As a result, because they don't have enough resources to do it, they're reliant on post a job and hope a great person is going to come to you. But that's not a wonderful strategy. It's not a great strategy at all. That's kind of hopefully, luckily,
pray and pray.
Right person. Right. Back to your last point, when a company works with us, we spend a lot of time understanding the requirements, hard skills and soft skills, and the characteristics that work in a specific selling environment. That when we go to market, understand the exact skill set, we can find the right candidates for your organization. And the advantage for us is that, of course, we've been in business for 22 years. We have a strong network of hard to find talent that others just don't have access to. And then we save companies time by doing all of that heavy lifting, by spending all of that time qualifying candidates to make sure it's the right company, the right industry, the right job, the right title, the right location, the right compensation structure. All of those things are critical. That becomes a real time suck for our organization and other companies, figuring out that information, qualifying candidates to make sure they meet your requirements and they're fully interested in the opportunity takes a tremendous amount of time. And unfortunately, in sales, it is a requirement. It's not like other type of opportunities. And the reason why I say that is because there are a lot of personality characteristics that are so critical to be a successful salesperson that a resume alone will not tell you if a person's a good fit or not. That means that we have to pick up the phone every time and have that authentic conversation to figure out who a person is, what they've done, and of course, what they're looking for. And once we figure that out, then we can help companies and candidates find a great match.
What are some of the things that make for a really top talent salesperson? What are some of the things you're looking for?
Almost an impossible question to answer because every company is different. The culture of the organizations are different. The sales characteristics are different. So for example, if you are a transactional sales environment and your average deal size is $20,000 and your sales cycle is 2 to 4 months, but you're interviewing candidates that are strategic in nature, they have an average deal size of, let's say, $1 million and a sales cycle of 9 to 12 months. And when you interview that person, they're going to seem wonderful and they're going to sound great and they're going to present incredibly well. Unfortunately, they're built for a strategic selling environment. Those are the sales characteristics of that individual. When you go to hire them for your organization, they quit after 4 to 6 months and they quit because they're not built for a transactional environment. They're not built for high activity, outbound, net new client acquisition. They're built for strategic thinking, long sales cycle, complex deals. What happens is if a company doesn't understand their own sales characteristics or the selling characteristics of their environment, they can easily get that wrong. And when they get that wrong, unfortunately, it produces a bad hire. And once you get a bad hire, then now you're just delayed and missing your numbers and struggling.
Thank you so much for sharing that example, because I think that really makes it clear. The previous question that I asked too about how are they getting it wrong in their description is part of their getting it wrong is because they may not know the person who's putting this up might not be the sales leader, it might be the HR person, and they might not understand the sales cycle and what type of person that they're really looking for. The descriptions are inadequate or even just not updated. And it sounds like you really do need to understand your environment. I didn't even think of that, right? I was thinking more of some of the general characteristics, but like you said, there's different types of salespeople for different environments, as there is for any type of position. It's the same for leadership, right? Is it your different environments are going to call for different types of leaders, and each one of them will be successful in the right environment, but not in another. That was a perfect example.
Oh, great. It's funny. When we talk to companies, of course, we do a kickoff call. And in that conversation, we ask a lot of questions to identify and define exactly what they're looking for. And the reason we do that is because we guarantee our clients that we'll produce their first candidate in 3 days.
That's pretty good turnaround.
Yeah. Well, it's important. You know, when you're hiring salespeople, we want to make sure they know we are dead serious and focused. This is important to us. As we consult with companies, we spend a lot of time brainstorming and walking through each particular scenario. And as we go through those scenarios, many of them think they know exactly what they're looking for. But it's amazing, as we start to introduce them to candidates that meet the exact criteria they gave us,
right?
They pivot, they change. They're not used to meeting this level of talent many times. They haven't had access to it before. And so as we start introducing them to them, they start to learn and shift, and they pivot just a little bit in the market. And what they start the search with many times gets tweaked a little bit, and they actually end up looking for someone a little bit different than they thought they would.
Right. Well, that's the power of good questions, is to really be able to dig underneath the surface to make sure they're getting not what they want, but what they need. Sometimes what we want and what we need, there's a gap in between there. That's a great example. One of the things that I used to do as a strategy when I was doing coaching for sales teams, which I don't do anymore, but I used to say, well, take your best salesperson and create an avatar to understand what is that person doing that's working, to really understand, if you were to create a profile out of that best person, what's good and what's bad about that strategy?
It's a great strategy. I actually wish more companies would do it. For us, what tends to happen is when we are working with a company to hire, and we'll ask, what does your top salesperson's background look like? I know you asked me about what they're doing presently, but a lot of times we'll ask, what does their background look like? 9 times out of 10, a company has lost perspective. They say, our top salesperson has this background, but that's not what we're looking for anymore. That person is different than what we want. Now we want these characteristics. We want people from our competitors, and they totally change. They change their recruiting methodology, even though their top producers have the soft and hard skills to have done incredibly well in the organization.
Right. Right. We ignore what's right in front of our face. Yes. Hello. This is how we get in our own way, right?
Yes. It's like, well, this is the top producer, but this isn't what we want anymore. You know what, Penny? It's crazy. That is a conversation that happens regularly. It is amazing how companies lose perspective. And so the second thing is, then yes, I would always look to see what top producers are doing differently than the rest of the team. And I think everything, you can learn from everything that a top producer is doing.
That being said, what's wrong with that strategy? Is there a time where you'd say, well, maybe there's someone who's even better than that person, that you're putting an assumption that just because they're the best salesperson that they have, that that's the best salesperson for that company? Is there anything there?
It's so unique because it depends on corporation and the company and the top producer. Typically, what we would try to do is the manager that is going to be hiring this person. And the reason why I say that is because many times the reason why a manager will look for domain expertise is because it will help them ramp the person up more quickly and more effectively. You know this, Penny. It doesn't prove that the person will be a top producer. It just makes it easier for the manager to ramp somebody up that has some domain expertise. But if you're trying to build a world-class sales organization, the ultimate would be have domain expertise and the soft characteristics that are equivalent to what your top producers look like, that you can lead athletes for your sales team. It's my recommendation that sales talent and ability in time will outproduce just domain expertise, because those sales characteristics that of a top producer will learn over time the domain. They will get the expertise, but they typically, a C-level or an average producer doesn't typically have the soft skills to typically become a top producer in their next organization. They've always been an average producer. They're likely going to continue to be an average producer.
Okay, that's an interesting statement. What is that? Is that because you're saying that an average producer is going to go to another company and they'll probably remain that average producer? Is that because of the level of motivation of that person? Is that because of the skill set? Because I would think that some people will think, well, our environment, we're better leaders. We're going to help that person to either going to be better with us because we're a better organization or we have a clearer product. It's a shorter sales cycle. I'm interested in your opinion on that.
Can you restate the questions?
I know. I didn't really ask a question, did I? Well, it was kind of like, what's holding that average producer at the average level, I guess is what I'm saying.
Typically, I had written a blog on this too. It's usually in the end, top producers, they're workers. And I'm not saying that you burn people out and you work them to death and that's the only thing that makes them a top producer. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying one common denominator is that if you look at top producers, they like to work, they like the work itself, and they typically will outwork their peers because it's important to them. It's something that is they strive for.
Is it a level of effort that they're willing to put in that others aren't? Or because when you say they want to work hard, they're working at it. What if somebody works smarter versus they can do in less effort what somebody does in more effort?
Yes, that could be the case. But typically what we found is that as you're interviewing a candidate, if you look to understand their background, and when I say their background, I mean from when they were a child growing up until now, you'll find some common traits that they rode their bicycle at 16 years old to the local pizza place because they wanted to get a job and they worked really hard at it. And there's just all of these examples of them going above and beyond. Maybe they were the captain of their volleyball team or their field hockey team or their soccer team. And the reason why they became the captain is not because they were the best player. It's because they had the greatest leadership and the strongest work ethic, or it wasn't natural talent that got them there. It was the fact that they got to practice early and they stayed late.
Right. So it's effort. But I would say that doesn't that make a great employee anywhere, not just in sales, but
totally
to look back and to see that this person puts in the effort. They want it. They are willing to work for it.
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely. I thought what you were going to say was when I went to work for Chet Holmes and Tony Robbins, sales was part of the coaching and sales. We were responsible to sell into our coaching program. They asked us, which parent were you closer to? And apparently, this was a key to your sales ability or whatever. I thought that was interesting.
Really? Did that work?
Yeah. It said if you were closer to the opposite parent, I forget the psychology behind it right now, but I was like, okay, whatever. That had some pull towards your ability to sell or your acumen.
I did not know that.
People listening have to research it. I'm not sure. It could be something that they just threw in there. I mean, they had some very interesting questions and interesting ways of approaching it that I haven't seen before. I don't want you to give away your secret sauce, but a question that you asked that really helps you to determine a candidate's value.
The first thing I typically do is I will say to a candidate, I would not consider this an interview. I would consider this just a conversation. And I don't plan on selling you, and I don't really want you to sell me. I'm just trying to figure out if there's a good match here. Because if there's not a good match and we're deceiving one another, what is the use? And then when we personally interview here at Treeline, of course, there's lots of characteristics that we look through, but we also hire based on our core values. Because if a person that we're interviewing shares the same core values that we share as a corporation, it's just a really good fit and it really promotes the organization, the culture, the company, and so much more.
Totally. I understand that. And I still am going to come back to this. I want you to give the listeners a question that you ask, whether it's how do you find out somebody's core value is aligned? Whatever the question is that you want to share, one question that you think would be valuable for people who are hiring.
I'll just give you one. Sure. More fun. One of our core values is do what's right. We've always thought, all right, how do you figure out if a person does what's right? That's what we believe in. One of the questions we ask is, have you ever parked in a handicapped spot? And it's just a simple question. And some people say, no, I've never. I don't think that's right. I would feel as though that's wrong. Or someone would say, I actually have done that once. But there was a reason why. We appreciate, whether they did or not, we appreciate the honesty, that open dialogue and communication, that they're comfortable enough to say, yeah, I did. I actually didn't think it was right, but I thought it was okay because of this reason or what have you. Right. I like to ask that question because it's so simple and basic, but it really tells me a lot about their character. And we're such a genuine, down-to-earth company, Penny. Like, doing what's right is really important to us. It really helps to understand who they are, what their beliefs are, and how honest and open they are with their communication.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing. We're at the end of our time together. I've really enjoyed it. Dan, tell them where they can reach you, and all of that information will be in the show notes, but give them your details.
Yeah, you can reach out to me directly. I mean, you can connect with me on LinkedIn at Dan Fantasia. You're welcome to go to our website, which is Treeline Inc., which is treelineinc.com. And you can fill out any contact us form or call me directly or email us. Anything you need help with when it comes to hiring, we're happy to help out. Or if you're searching for a new opportunity, feel free to contact us and we are definitely happy to help.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you for being here, Dan. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Penny. I appreciate your time.
And thank you all for being here. There were some really good nuggets for you to think about when you're looking to hire. This might have been specifically around salespeople, but really not, right? There were a lot of great thoughts in here about making sure that you're getting the right fit when you're hiring and that you're really focusing on that. Looking for the right people, having the right team makes work easier. They fit into your culture. It makes people feel like they belong and people are more productive when they're working with a great team that they enjoy working with. Make sure that you spend the time and the effort to get the right people on board. My name is Penny Zenker and this is Take Back Time. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening. Today's topic is another opportunity for you to put the knowledge you learned into practice. Tune in again next week for more strategies that will help you have more energy and focus to get more done in less time, so you can continue to take back time.